1 Timothy 2 and verse 9 says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but with good works." And there's a parenthetical statement there, "which becometh women professing godliness." That means Paul was saying, you know, in that parenthesis in verse 10, he said, you know, we got some women in the churches back then who are professing godliness, but they're spending more time on their clothing and on their hair and on their gold and their pearls and their costly array than they are in doing good works for the Lord. And women ought to adorn themselves with modest apparel and with good works. That's what they ought to be known for when people look at them. And I want to speak tonight on the subject of five good reasons why every woman should dress modestly. Five good reasons why every woman should dress modestly. I mentioned this morning that I'm going to start dealing with some issues on Sunday night. Now, of course, issues are always controversial to those that are not humble. To those that are, they have no problem with it. Whatever the Bible says is what we'll do. I'm going to try to present them as well as I can without controversy, but just in teaching the Word of God. And there's going to be all kinds of different subjects that I'm going to deal with. Some of these are very minor subjects. Some of them are major subjects. Some of them apply to you. Some of them don't apply to you. And yet there's something that needs to be addressed. Something that needs to be addressed. Look over at 2 Timothy 4. We'll come right back here. 2 Timothy chapter 4 in your Bible and verse number 2. It says, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." It is not my job or calling or ministry to go around condemning people or judging people. It is my job to preach the word, to preach what the Bible says. I think any woman that knows me, that whenever I meet them, wherever I might be in the streets or in the store or whatever, I don't know of any lady that I've ever condemned because of her appearance. There have been many that have grieved my heart, broken my heart. I don't know what God's heart is like when he sees them in such apparel, but I don't make it a matter of going around and looking down on people and so on. But it is my job to preach the Word of God. Now, going back to our text here in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9, it says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array." Now, before you blurt out the answer, I want to ask you a question about this verse. Before you blurt out the answer, think now. Who is this verse written to? Who is this verse written to? 1 John 2 and verse 9. It isn't a trick question, but you need to be thinking. Who is this verse written to? All right. That answer is correct. It is written to Timothy. That's who this verse is written to, and Timothy is a pastor. In the subscription of the book of 2 Timothy, the very last chapter, last verse, you'll see that Timothy was the first bishop of the church at Ephesus, a church that would later become famous in Revelation 2 when the Lord wrote to them and said, "You have left your first love." Timothy was the first pastor. It was to Timothy that God gave this instruction. See, what we're doing tonight is we're reading from one of three books in the New Testament that is called the Pastoral Epistles. And it has to do with behavior inside of the local church. And the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is writing to Timothy, a young preacher, a young bishop, and he's saying, now here are some things that you need to set in order in the local church. Now, secondarily, who is this verse written to? First of all, to pastors. Second, to who? The church or the women. Okay, the women. It's given ladies instruction on how to appear and what they should be known for. They should be known for their good works, not for the clothes that they wear or the jewelry that they wear. Now, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, it says about preaching the word that a pastor must preach the whole counsel of God. He must preach the whole counsel of God, whatever God says. That's what he is obliged to preach according to the commandment of God our Savior on him. So he has to preach issues. And certainly this would not be one of the most popular issues. I don't know of much that women take more personally than their appearance and their clothing. And this is a personal matter. But in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19, Jesus said that whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever teaches them all, the same shall be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And that is one of my theme verses for my ministry. It doesn't matter what other pastors do or other churches do or something. I've got to get around eventually, if God lets me, preach the whole counsel of God, whatever it says. Now, I want to define a few words then here, and I'm going to try to choose my words carefully. I understand some of the things that I say will be sensitive, and I'm sure by the end of this message, as with every issue that I deal with, that some will wish I had said more, others will wish I had said less. And that's just how it is with issues. That's why we call them issues. So I certainly hope that I say it right. I'm asking the Lord to help me, but I want to define some of the words here in the verse. It says in verse number 9, in like manner also that women adorn. I don't want to presume that you know what that means. The word adorn means to dress. It means to dress yourself. So it's talking about the dress of women here, and Timothy is told here what to teach the church. And then it says they are to adorn themselves in modest. The next word is modest. This word modest means of good behavior. Of good behavior. Vine's Dictionary of Greek Words defines it as orderly, well-arranged, decent. And so that would certainly mean they ought not to dress like slobs or frumpy, but there ought to be an order about the way they dress. I think it's referring there to being with class, with being regal, with being royal. Noah Webster, in his dictionary of 1828, said the word modest means restrained by a sense of propriety, not forward or bold, not lewd. Not lewd. It's possible for a lady to dress that way. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 7 and verse 10 that there met this young man one day, a woman in the attire of an harlot. The attire of a harlot. There must be some kind of attire that would be called the attire of a harlot. And this word here means, modest, means lewd. Or not lewd, rather, but decent. A decency about the way a woman carries herself by the apparel that she wears. Now, the word modest comes from a Greek word that is only used twice in the Bible. The next time the word is ever used, it is not translated into the word modest. It is translated into a phrase of three words, and those are of good behavior. In fact, you can probably see it on the next page of your Bible. It says in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober." And I want you to notice what a bishop must be, this next phrase. A pastor must be of what? Of good behavior. See that phrase of good behavior? That comes from the exact same Greek word that is translated into the word modest in chapter 2 and verse number 9. Chapter 2 and verse number 9. Modest, you might want to circle that word and then circle the phrase of good behavior in chapter 3 and verse 2. And you might want to connect them with a line in your Bible. So that means that women ought to adorn themselves in clothing that is of good behavior. Of good behavior. Clothing that is decent. Clothing that is not lewd. Clothing that is not lewd. Now the next word I want to define for you is the word apparel. The word apparel. The word apparel comes from a Greek word katastole. K-A-T-A-S-T-O-L-E. We've heard of a stole before. People wear a stole. The word katastole means a lowering, a letting down, a garment let down. A lowering, a letting down, a garment let down. This word katastole is the opposite of the phrase found in the Old Testament five times to four different men, Gehazi, Elijah, Jeremiah, and Job twice, when the Bible says, "Gird up your loins like a man." The word apparel is the opposite of that phrase. This means the letting down. You see, men and women dressed in different types of garments back then, but they did wear skirts, the men did back then. We would call maybe kilts today over in Scotland or Ireland. In fact, the word skirt is used 10 times in the Bible. Every time it refers to a man. It was a robe-like garment that went down to the knees. And men would wear a type of a band around their waist, and should they need to run or do strenuous work, they could take the skirt up and they could tuck it into the band, and that was called girding up your loins like a man. Gird up your loins like a man. And so that he could have some freedom of movement so that he could run, perhaps, with a message as they used to have messengers and so on. And so that phrase, gird up your loins, is only used five times and it always refers to a man. The word breeches, B-R-E-E-C-H-E-S, is found five times in the Old Testament. An example might be in Exodus 28 and verse number 42. In all of the references, if you'll get your concordance out and look up the word breeches, in every single one of the context, it is a man who is wearing the breeches, and he is a priest. And the purpose for that was that not only did he have his robes on, but the breeches were a garment that went from the waist down to the knees that had two legs in them. And the man was to wear those for the express purpose that God did not want to see their thighs while they were exercising the priest's office. In fact, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 43 and verses 1 through 3 that if a woman exposes her thigh or leg, that is considered nakedness in the Word of God. When the Lord gave the instructions for the building of the altar in the tabernacle and then later in the temple, he said, especially in the temple, thou shalt not build stairs up to the altar, lest your nakedness be seen. And he's talking about men. He said, I don't want men walking up the stairs to the altar to sacrifice in case somebody might get a glimpse of a man's thighs. You keep it on the level of everybody and you wear breeches. Breeches, of course, you probably have heard the more southern name for that, britches. Ever hear the old saying, who wears the britches in that home? Okay, that's referring to the pants. It's referring to the pants. And breeches in the scriptures is always a garment that refers to the man. And that is very pertinent because when you look into the righteousness of the law, which I know we're not under the law, but we still study the law to learn the righteousness of the law. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto the man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. And then this amazing statement right after that, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. That's pretty strong language. For all that do so, if any woman puts on a man's garment, that is an abomination to the Lord. If any man, a man puts on a woman's garment, that's an abomination to the Lord. And so the girding up of the loins and the wearing of breeches was something that pertained to the man. Now, we have a lot of nakedness in our day and age. And this reminds me of a scripture in 2 Chronicles 28 and verse number 19. And it says, for the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. See, nakedness is not just a transgression. It is a sore transgression against the Lord. And I would encourage, I don't have time tonight to do a study on nakedness, but I would strongly encourage you to do that in your home. America is a naked country. America is a naked country. Especially our ladies have been brought low in the sight of God by the dress standards or lack of dress standards today. I don't know if it's ever been worse. So ladies, your apparel should be a lowering, a letting down, a garment let down. Keep in mind the context of the day and age in which they lived in. They used to wear tunics. I looked up in the dictionary. What is a tunic? Here's the definition. A loose-fitting garment extending to the knees, worn especially in Greece and Rome. I looked up the word a toga. A heavy outer garment made from fine white wool. It was 20 feet long and up to 7 feet wide. It was hard to keep in place and cumbersome to wear. Nevertheless, all men who were citizens of Rome were required to wear it in public. The word toga comes from the Latin word tagare, which means to cover. Imagine from this flag to that flag, a garment, men, that long. 7 feet wide, my span is 6 feet wide, and someone coming up to you and say, here, put this on. I would say by the time you got it on, that would probably cover you. And that is the context that the Bible is being written in. Now, we need to realize that this word covering keeps coming up in all of these definitions. And one more definition, then I want to get to 5 points here. I want you to notice also a word that I don't think I've ever heard it preached on, but it says you're supposed to adorn The women are in the church are supposed to be instructed to adorn themselves in modest apparel. That is a lowering, and it literally means apparel lower than a man's. And then notice the next word, with shamefacedness. This word shamefacedness here means downcast eyes, bashfulness, regard for reverence and for others. To be bashful. And yet that is not the spirit of the day. The spirit of the day is the opposite of Scripture. I just want to give you one example. I don't think anyone will be offended by this. You probably won't be able to see this. This was in the newspaper today. It's just an ad is all it is. A girl with real red lipstick. And this is for glasses. This is for glasses. Yeah, there's sunglasses here. All right. And here's what the subtitles say. This lip color makes you feel flirty. Do your glasses? ? See, this is the opposite of the word we just read in the Bible, shamefacedness. This spirit in the world that is trying to train ladies to appear this way. And you see it everywhere. You see it everywhere. You see it on the television. You see it in the cheerleaders. You see it in this vile, vile dancing that's on television. I'm going to get to that some Sunday night. And you see it in the warm weather. And you see it everywhere. I've been looking for illustrations for tonight, for tonight's message. It's not hard. It's not hard to find illustrations of what not to do. Yesterday, I observed four teenagers walking down Hemlock Road. Two boys, two girls. I took note of their dress because I knew I was preaching on this tonight. The two boys had loose shirts on. Pulled out, down to here. They were short sleeve. I got to stay behind the mic. They were short sleeve, and they were loose and pulled out. They had shorts on. The shorts went from their waist down below their knees. They were very, very loose-fitting shorts and loose-fitting shirts. The two girls next to them had very, very tight-fitting and form-fitting, I guess you'd call them blouses on, that exposed their shoulders and their front and their midriff, and then very, very tight, very, very short shorts on that exposed every curve of their body and all of their legs and had provocative words in bright white letters across their rear ends. Now, ladies, the Bible says the word apparel means to be let down, to lower. What we see in the world today is the very opposite of God's desire for the way we dress. For the way we dress. And, you know, in preaching this and teaching this, I almost feel like, and not so much in our church, but if I were to try to pull this over on the world, I almost feel like I'm standing at the precipice of Niagara Falls in the river with the Niagara River coming against me and saying, stop, go the other way. The current for women to dress immodestly today is so strong and so powerful. There's many a Christian lady who struggles with this herself. I should say a believer in Christ, maybe not a Christian yet. But I thought tonight if I could give you five good reasons and why that it might help you. And personally, I don't believe that it's so much a woman's decision as it is her husband's if she's married. Or a pastor's if she's not. Now, we are supposed to be under someone's authority, all of us. And but you know, sometimes people can be motivated by good reasons. And if you'll think about it, And if you quit listening to Satan like Eve listened to him in the garden, you'll see God has good reasons for anything he asks. And I want to give you, I think, some good reasons why women should dress modestly so you fathers can take it home, teach it to your daughters, and you husbands can teach it to your wives. And I thank the Lord for my wife, but there's been times where she's had something on, very, very rare, or she's asked me about something, and I said, uh-uh. All right, can't go out with that on. And I thank the Lord for her. And I thank the Lord for some of you who are really role models. I'll get to that in a moment. But I want to give you five reasons here, and if I said I'll be quick, I might be lying, so I won't say that. But number one is for protection. Number one is for protection. A woman's clothes are her protection. And women need a lot of protection today. You need a lot of protection today. Things are not good out there. There was a newspaper article in last week's Buffalo News. And the tenor of the words were just how they are just so thrilled. They're just so thrilled that in the last poll of teenagers in America, only 47% are sexually active. They're so thrilled. It's down from 63%. We are making progress. Isn't this wonderful, folks? It should be 0%. It should be 0%. And they're just thrilled about this. You might not know this, but one half of all the abortions in the United States of America are performed on teenage girls. 750,000 a year, that's 2,000 per day in the United States of America, abortions are performed on teenage girls. What can you conclude from that? Now that's based on 365 days a year. What can you conclude from that? You can conclude that at least 2,000 are getting pregnant every day. And about two-thirds of the teen girls who do get pregnant do not have abortions. So you can conclude about 6,000 teen girls are getting pregnant every day in our country. That should be zero. It should be zero. One-third of all adult women today have the human papilloma virus in their body. That's one-third of all adult women today. They are so concerned about this that there are lawmakers who are literally trying to make a law, and they're starting here in New York State where you must, by law, inoculate every girl in this country between the ages of 9 and 13 against this virus, and there's only one way to get it. That's through physical intimacy. That's how bad it is in this country. By the way, in New York State, 10% of all abortions in our country are performed in New York State. We are the abortion capital of the country. It's so bad, they're trying to pass a law that's going to force you that have 9 through 13-year-old girls to get this inoculation. Now, it doesn't seem like any of them have the wisdom to deal with the root of the problem. They just want to treat the symptoms. Treat the symptoms. What's the root of the problem? The root of the problem is nakedness. I'm trying to be careful here. I'm sorry if I'm not, but nakedness promotes stimulation. The FBI reported that 99% of all rapes are instigated by men. 99%. The less than 1% instigated by women are always in the area of statutory, which means an adult lady gets involved with a boy who's a minor, 17-year-old, 16-year-old, or something like that, and they got to accuse them of statutory. 99%. So who has the problem? See, women are clueless as to how men work, how men think. Women are giving men way too much to look at today. And what chance does a girl have if she chooses to dress that way in public, or a woman? What chance do they have of ever attracting a loving, caring man who's going to treat them like a human being rather than an object of desire? What chance do they have of being treated like a creature of God, a child of God even? Now, ladies, just because men give you attention because of your dress and because of your appeal to the basest of their senses, it doesn't mean they love you. It doesn't mean they love you at all. But some women think it does. Wow, look at all this attention I'm getting. Protection. Protection. A woman's clothing is her protection, and there's some women that don't have much protection. Number two is respect. Another good reason why women should dress modestly is because of respect. Men respect women who are dressed modestly. They tend to treat them more as human beings with dignity and honor, not just as objects of desire. It's amazing how much dress affects attitudes. Men, even to this day, will go and open the door to a store or to a car or something for a lady who is dressed in a modest way. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 144. He will have a pure attitude towards her. He will have a pure attitude. I can't tell you how many ladies there are in the church that have just earned my respect and just that they just carry themselves like royalty. And they're modest and they're regal and they're classy and they're a good testimony of their God. In Psalm 144 and verse 12, it says this, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That means established, not wishy-washy, blown all around. That our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. Notice the royalty there. It says that our daughters should be like cornerstones, polished cornerstones, not like street-walking tramps. And you notice the royalty there in verse 12. Turn to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. And I want you to notice in verse number 10, it says, "Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house." In other words, separate yourself from the world. "So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty." God desires separated women. He's the one that women should try to get to look at them. Amen? Women should try to get God to look at them. "For he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought into the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee." In other words, she'll bring souls to the king. with gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. And so here's this daughter, and she's glorious within, and she's glorious without. And she gets her companions, and she brings them to the king, and they're going to live into the king's palace. It's a great soul-winning text. But it talks about a lady, and it talks about how she desires to please the king in her beauty, and she's dressed royally. And notice the reaction in verse 12. Even the rich among the people shall, and here's a phrase, entreat thy favor. That means respect. It means respect. A woman will have respect if she dresses modestly, royally. Doesn't mean expensively. But you can find beautiful clothes at cheap prices that no matter where you go, men will respect you. Men will respect you. Take some lady, and here she is in a nice modest skirt or blouse or a nice modest dress. Maybe it's colorful and it's loose fitting, and she has a nice vest on. And here's the girl on Hemlock Road, and she's got her tight-fitting, whatever the thing is called, I don't even know if it's a blouse, and her tight-fitting shorts on, and she's walking down the road. Come on, let's set the Bible aside. Let's use some common sense. Who's going to be respected? Who's going to be respected? Who's going to be respected? You know, men should grow up, ladies, girls, men should grow up thinking they're unworthy of you. I'm not worthy of her. Boy, they'll appreciate you the rest of their life. I married up. The number three, to be an example to the girls. Number three, to be an example to the girls. A third reason why every woman, every Christian woman, every believing woman should dress modestly is to be an example to the girls. I watch people. I've done that all my life for some reason. Maybe God was in it. I like to watch people. I watch the eyes of women in this church. I watch when a lady walks in this door over here, maybe a little late for service. And I watch the eyes of about 20 women look her up and down. It's amazing how women look at women. She wore that last week. No man ever says that to another man. We go up to each other and say, is that a new suit? And no, I've had this for about 5 years. Oh. Is that a new tie? No, I wear it every week. But you'd be amazed. Well, I think she wore that last year for the sweetheart banquet. How do you know that? My point is that women look at women. And girls look at women. Turn to Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16. You know, there's a phrase based on the scriptures that says, no man is an island, no woman's an island either. That means nobody has ever so isolated themselves that they do not affect or influence someone else. Everybody affects or influences somebody else. That's based on Romans 14, verse 7. It says, none of us lives to himself, no man dies to himself. Every one of us, by our life and by our death, is going to affect somebody else. Now, I want you to notice here in Ezekiel 16 and verse 44, it says, behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. We need to be an example to the girls, you ladies. You cannot take this as some personal issue of your own private conviction. You can't look at it that way. Well, I got my own personal forget about your personal convictions and start thinking about the little girls who see you growing up. That's what you got to think about. Think about the little girls growing up who see you. When they see you at the Walmarts or the mall or in the restaurant or walking around during the week and so on and so forth. It's not hard to dress modestly to church because so many ladies are trying to do that and it's easy to conform. But what about out in the world? If some little girl sees you, what kind of an example are you setting? You certainly don't want to be a stumbling block. I covered that in a couple sermons ago on Sunday morning in Matthew 18, where it says we should not be an offense to any children. We shouldn't be an offense to any children. We shouldn't cause them to stumble. Jesus said it'd be better you stuck a millstone around your neck and drown yourself in the depths of the sea than to cause a child to stumble. Ladies, you've got to realize the next generation of girls is growing up, and the little girls have their eyes on you teen girls. And the teen girls have their eyes on those in their 20s and in their 30s. And if they see you and your whole life is about apparel and about jewelry and about what you did with your hair this week and your clothes and so on and so forth, then they are going to look at that example. They're only going to hear me preach on this maybe once a year or once every few years. But our example speaks louder than our words. The Bible says we need to adorn ourselves with modest apparel because girls just seem more than men to just, you know, what is the fashion of today? We had one of our bus girls try hard. She tried hard. God bless her. She's trying. But she decided that she goes to the public school, and she decided to wear a skirt one day. And I think she wore a dress the next day, and she said it was just overwhelming. It was just overwhelming. She talked to me about this in my car when I had some teens, and I was taking them home from an activity. She talked to me about this, and all the girls that laughed at her. And she said, I was the only one in the whole school that day who wore a dress. And they laughed at me and they said, why are you dressed that way? Why are you dressed that way? I tried to encourage her. And by the way, these reasons I'm giving you tonight, next time you're asked that question, give these out. Give them out. Well, for my protection. And because I want to be respected. And I want to be a good example to girls that are following me. I mean, the Bible says be ready to give an answer. Don't just sit there and turn all red and feel embarrassed because you're not dressed like everybody else. Give an answer. Now, they're not going to like your answer, but it's going to make them think. And that's what we have to do sometimes to get people saved, is to shake up the foundation of their soul. Everybody, if they're going to get saved, usually has to have one person in their life who's a source of conviction to them. And they say, how come he doesn't conform? How come she doesn't conform? How come that church doesn't join the ecumenical movement? What's with them? There's got to be an influence like that in a community. And then number four, for the spirituality of men. For the spirituality of men. The fourth good reason why women should dress modestly at all times is for the spirituality of men. Ladies, you are helping men to either be spiritual or to be sensual by the way you dress. Sorry, that's just the way it is. A man is affected by his eyes and what he sees. And sometimes, you can ask any man in this room who's normal, who wants to be honest, sometimes he doesn't have to see much. The original intent for the creation of women is found in Genesis 2 and verses 18 through 25, and that is to be an help meet for him, to be a helper, not a hinderer to mankind. In the book of 1 Corinthians 11, we are taught in verses 1 through 3 that the woman was made for the man and not the man for the woman. I know that offends humanists and it offends secularists and so on and so forth, but this is the church you're sitting in tonight. I don't care about humanists or secularists or feminists. This is the church and we preach the word here. The original intent, now listen, ladies, you know, long after my sermon's gone and forgotten tonight, at the end of your journey, you will stand before Christ. And he said, I'm not going to judge you on that day. The words that I have spoken unto you, they shall judge you on that day. That's what he said. That's why I have the obligation to preach the word, the whole counsel of God. And that's all I'm trying to do tonight in love is to get you ladies ready for the inevitable. When you must stand before the Lord. And the Lord says, now, let's check it out. Well, we get to chapter 2 here and we find out why you were created. And that is to help men. Now let's look at your life and see if you were a help to men or if you were a hindrance to men. If you helped men become more spiritual or did you help men become more sensual? Now, what do you think? Did you know that God wants men to lead the government? God wants men to lead the family? God wants men to lead the church? Did you know that's all in the Bible, the three institutions of God? God wants men. Now, do you think God would want spiritual men to do it or sensual men? Would it help our government if we had spiritual men or sensual? Would it help our families if we had spiritual men or sensual? Would it help our church if we had spiritual men or sensual leading the church? Ladies can help men. They can help men by being modest. Many other ways too, praying, encouraging when we're down, so on and so forth. There's a lot of ways, a lot of things ladies can do. There's a lot of things ladies can do on their own for God too without men. We try to give ladies a lot of liberty around here to serve the Lord. But the spirituality of men is helped or hindered by the way women dress. Hey, I talk to the men of this church. There's a lot of them here that love God and want to serve God, but you know what they struggle in? They struggle in the summertime. Pastor, pray for me. This is hard. Last of all, and most important, fifth reason why a woman ought to dress modestly at all times is for obedience to God. Obedience to God. If I hadn't said another word all night, and I just got up and read 1 Timothy 2:9 and closed in prayer and we went home, that should be enough for every lady. Every lady should say that. Well, that's it. That's all I need to hear. What did we just waste 15 minutes for? Oh, come on. Been up here a while. What did we just waste all that time for? All you have to do is read the one verse. God said it. I'm humble about it. God said dress in modest apparel. No problem. Obedience to God. What is the test in the Bible? What is the test of love toward God? Obedience. He that loveth me keepeth my sayings. He that loveth me keepeth my sayings. If you love me, keep my commandments. The test of love is obedience to God. And so, we didn't need to sit here and say, okay, give me five reasons and I'll consider this. We didn't need that. All we needed was, hey, well, God said it, so I'm going to cover myself up I'm going to wear my clothes lower than a man. I'm going to dress modestly. That means of good behavior. There never is it going to be considered anything that I wear is lewd or indecent, or those other definitions that I gave you earlier. Now, some may have to change their wardrobe. I know a lot of you are doing pretty well with this. Maybe this is just some preventative medicine or whatever, but some may have to go home and start getting some nicer clothes, and find some Goodwills, AmVets, Salvation Armies. They got some good stuff over there, pretty cheap. And you may have to sew up some slits, amen? And you may have to look in the mirror, get yourself a full-length mirror, and you may have to say, if you live alone, you know, that looks too tight. That's too form-fitting. And I don't understand men, but I heard the message, and I gotta conform to God's word. Gotta conform to God's word. Five good reasons why every woman should dress modestly. Let us pray. Number one, protection from men. Protection. Protection. Oh my. Number two is respect. Who doesn't want to be respected? Number three, an example to the girls growing up. Number four, to help men be spiritually minded. Spiritually minded. Someone once said to me, well, why don't those men just grow up? I responded, that's the problem. They grew up. Spirituality of the men. And last of all, obedience to God. God said to Paul, Paul, you tell Timothy that when he's trying to get the church in order, that he should teach the ladies to be modest in their apparel. It'll help your church. I know we're probably just 1% of the world real sold-out, born-again Christian women in this world. You're going to stick out like a thumb. But you know, this week, I don't know why, but I counted about 12 girls out there. I have no idea why, 12 girls in skirts. Maybe it's coming back. I don't know. I hope so. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray now for thy blessing on this long message, this issue. I want to pray the Holy Spirit would bring men and women to strong conviction tonight, and that this would become a soul-winning tool. When people ask and say, why do you dress that way? Just say, because God said it in his word. And get more respect and so on. And maybe some would consider that there may be a bunch of girls out there who don't want to dress the way they do, Lord. But they don't have any other example to look to. And we pray that in our small part of the world that this church would be strong in this area. That every girl that comes here on the bus or from a house would look up to the ladies and see something so different, something so beautiful, something so royal, so classy, so orderly, so decent, so respectful, that they look up to the ladies in this church like queens and princesses and say, that's what I want to be when I'm older. Lord, you said strange apparel is an abomination. We pray we get rid of the strange clothing and whatever. Help men as they teach their daughters, as they lead their wives in this matter, this issue. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.